All right, guys, back on Truth Earth Radio. I've actually got, I had put several shows together on this. If you guys are interested in this, just request this and, you know, the transcripts for the other shows where I was going to go into, you know, a lot of detail breaking down the atom into its currently known subatomic particles. And, you know, it used to be that the atom was nice and tidy. You know, it just was comprised of three fundamental particles, you know, the proton, electron, and the neutron. But now, of course, there's scores of them, and they're discovering new ones all the time. And as they create more atom smashers, there's new ones being, uncovered. Of course, there's matter. There's antimatter now that's been discovered. They're actually trying to create an antimatter bomb. Oh, this is something really scary for you. If you want the notes to this and that show as well, just email me, truthearthsradio@aol.com. I'll send that off to you. I'm touching a little bit on atoms and subatomic particles, but we're going off into some other things too. But, you know, coming back to subatomic particles rotating as well as orbiting, just like planets rotate and orbit, you see the same thing once again on the macro scale and the micro scale. Is rotational movement the act of a body actually orbiting itself? You know, the only objects that exhibit gravity are bodies that rotate. Is the rotation of a body responsible for gravity? We really don't know what gravity is to this day. There's only theories and speculations. They believe it emanates from the atomic level, that it's some kind of energy or force. But is it? Is it just centrifugal force that results from the rotational movement? Does that create a centrifugal force that pulls things down, much like an elevator? As if it suddenly accelerates forward, you know, if you can lose your balance and fall to the floor because it simulates gravity. That would happen out in the deep recesses of space, you know, away from the Earth's gravity. If you were in a building floating out in the middle of space, it doesn't matter which direction the building is facing, because out in space there's no such thing as right side up or upside down. But if you were in this building and all of a sudden you were in an elevator, you would be floating in mid-air, quote-unquote, in the elevator. But if the elevator was suddenly to accelerate upward to the top floor or downward, it wouldn't really matter. There's no up or down, but you know what I'm saying. If the elevator was to suddenly accelerate, you would fall to the floor of that elevator as though there was gravity there. It's synthetic gravity, if you will. The same experience that you feel when you fall out a window is what you feel when there's acceleration. Is that all that gravity is? Is gravity just acceleration or centrifugal force created by the rotation of an object? We really don't know. As a matter of fact, we don't even know with certainty if the same force that causes an apple to drop to the floor when you let it go is in fact the same force that holds the Earth around the sun. That's what we assume it to be. All the textbooks will tell you that it is, but that's open for debate. We really don't know with certainty if it is the same force. We don't even know what gravity is yet. They propose, theorize graviton, but we don't know if such a thing exists. I mean, the questions go on and on. We really don't know as much as we'd like to think we do. This natural world that we take for granted, these laws that we use all the time, we don't even understand them. We don't know why they're in place. We know how they work, and we know how to utilize them, but we don't know why they're even there in the first place or what governs them. We really don't. And they're constantly having to change their theories, especially now with some of the new discoveries that have been made in quantum physics. They're at a loss. They don't know what to make of it, guys. I hope I have the time to get to some of that, because this gets much more strange as we go along here in this discussion. Anyway... let me continue on here. Centrifugal force and gravity, like I said, are actually quite similar, at least in their effects on matter. And we'll pick up with that when we get back, guys. Another break. Stick with us.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Attention, this is an extremely urgent Republic Broadcasting News Bulletin. If you're interested in suppressed natural cures, this will be the most important message you will ever hear. Listen closely. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test an amazing blacklisted herbal product considered to be the single most powerful traditional remedy on Earth. In fact, medical studies in other countries have been conducted on the astonishing effects this rare mineral-like compound has had on arthritis, obesity, energy, memory, and even reproductive health. Yet, because of the rules governing nutritional supplements in this country, no health or healing claims can be made at this time. However, it is still legal to own this compound, and right now a very small amount is being made available to RBN listeners in what's being called the most amazing and unusual offer ever made on radio. To claim your supply as an RBN listener, simply go to www.blacklistedherb.com. That's blacklistedherb.com. Shipments will be filled on a first-come, first-served basis, so it's important that you move quickly. www.blacklistedherb.com or call 877-327-0367.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Hey guys, welcome back to Truth Hurts Radio. Getting off into some even stranger stuff now. We can all fathom the infinity of the macrocosm, right? On the macrocosm level, as you look out at the universe, you know, technically space should just keep going. In fact, how could you fathom that space ever ends? Space, as far as we know, is infinite. It just keeps going and going. You know, even if scientists want to claim that we're inside of a closed universe, there's got to be something beyond that. You know, space can't end. It must, by nature, be infinite. But how about when we look into the microcosm world? Could it not be said that that world extends to infinity as well? If not, if you don't think that's possible, consider this. You know, can you ever actually reach a point where you can no longer divide space any smaller? It doesn't seem likely. How about this scenario? Half an inch, third of an inch, quarter of an inch, fifth of an inch, sixth of an inch, seventh of an inch. It just goes on and on and on. Just like you can count from one to infinity. You can keep dividing an inch by infinity, can't you? How about this one? 0.01 inch, 0.001 inch, 0.0001 inch. 0.00001 inch. That can keep going on to infinity too, can't it? You just keep adding another zero, and no matter what, it's still a measurement of space. Can there ever be a point where you can't add another zero after the decimal point and have it not be a measurement of space? No, technically you can't. That can go on forever, can't it? So does it not make sense to say that you can have not only an infinity outward looking out into space, but you can have an infinity right within an inch of measurement? An infinity. Because you can always divide, theoretically, the point can't be argued, you can always divide that inch into a smaller portion by adding another zero after the decimal point. This series of fractions or decimals, you know, can literally go on for eternity, just like you can count to eternity. Of course, the same could be said about time, could it not? Can a second ever stop being divided? Is there a smallest unit of time measurement? You know, just think about Einstein's relativity theory. One who travels at the speed of light for 1 second, according to Einstein, can be the equivalent of many years for one who did not travel at the speed of light and remained behind on the Earth. You know, if you went in a spaceship and circled the Earth 50 times at the speed of light, you come back and probably everybody's going to be dead, according to the theory of relativity. And, you know, that's not fantasy. This has been demonstrated. Time really is relative. And what can affect the passage of time for one while not affecting the other is not only the speed at which you travel, but gravity. Now, that's interesting because we just talked about how gravity and inertia are really one and the same. You get the same experience when you're accelerated in a car or in an elevator that you get when you jump out a window, the Earth pulling on you, right? Or what seems to be the Earth pulling on you anyway. It's the same thing. Well, guess what? Those two forces, inertia and gravity, affect time as well. Time actually slows down for you the faster you move, the stronger the inertia. Also, time moves slower when you're next to a powerful source of gravity. Time slows way down the more intense the gravity. Did you know, and this has been demonstrated, guys, with atomic clocks, the most accurate time measurement instrument that man has developed. If you're on the top of a mountain and you have a friend at the base of the mountain, your clock at the top of the mountain will actually move slightly, measurably faster than the clock at the base of the mountain. Why? Not because of any difference or malfunction of the clock, but because of gravity. Because your friend at the base of the mountain is closer to the Earth's center of gravity and thus experiencing a more powerful gravitational force than you are at the top of the mountain, his clock will actually register time more slowly than yours will. This has been proven. So what does this tell us? It tells us that we live in one heck of a screwy universe. The same is true, guys, if you're in a fast-moving car. Time slows down for you. Not very much, because the car, you know, can only go so fast. But it is, nevertheless, slowing down for you. A very insignificantly small, minute degree of time. If you spent your whole life in a fast-moving car, time would actually go by slower for you. You'd probably live, you know, several seconds or minutes longer than you would have had you not been in that speeding car your whole life. Not only that, but the process of being in motion actually compresses your matter in your body. Again, it's very minute. It's not even noticeable. But when you're in a fast-moving car, your body is compressed, smaller, condensed, if you will, than if you were just walking down the street or lying in bed. Movement compresses matter. And this is where the E equals MC square thing comes in, that matter becomes energy. You move matter fast enough, and it'll be so condensed that it'll burst into energy because its atoms will be, you know, experiencing fusion. This is crazy stuff. But again, gravity will do the same thing. If you're in an intensive gravitational field, the gravity will crush you. Your own body weight will compress you, right? But it also works the same with acceleration. If you're accelerated fast enough, your own body weight will crush you. Do you see how acceleration or inertia and gravity seem to be the same thing? They certainly exert the same forces on matter and on time. Time is considered to be the fourth dimension, and for good reason. You know, to illustrate this point, you know, when we make an appointment with someone, we'll tell them to meet us at a certain place at a certain time. We'll actually give them four dimensions. We'll say, meet me at the corner of 5th and 6th on the second floor at 5:30. If you don't mention 5:30, the fourth dimension, you'll never make that meetup. It's not enough to tell them, you know, length, height, and width. It's not enough to give them those three dimensions. You've got to give them the fourth dimension, time. It really is a dimension. Both time and space, guys, are affected or warped by both gravity and acceleration, as I stated. Time slows down at extreme speeds and under intense gravity. Space literally bends, hence planets orbit around the contour of warped space around stars. It literally bends it, from what we can tell. Certainly that's the effects that seem to be taking place. Of course, matter also warps under these same conditions, just as time does. When we ride, like I said, in a speeding car, our own bodies warp. Do you know that Albert Einstein, based just on his own mental experiments and math, you know, on paper, came up with the idea, I think it was in 1919, there was a solar eclipse, and he predicted, he had never seen this witnessed before in nature, he just knew it was going to happen because of his, you know, mind experiments and his mathematics that he worked out on paper. He predicted that when this upcoming solar eclipse would take place, that the light of this certain star, which was going to be behind the sun at that time and thus not technically visible, he predicted nevertheless that it would be visible. He told astronomers to look so many degrees, you know, northeast or whatever of the sun. And he said, you will see that star there in the sky. And they were all laughing. No, that's ridiculous. It's going to be behind the sun. It's not going to be visible. He said, no, it will be. Because the sun's gravity is going to warp the light of that star and make it appear as though it's so many degrees away from the sun. So they laughed, but nevertheless, if for no other reason, just to prove him wrong, they looked for it. And you know what? They saw it. He was right. The light of that star was so many degrees away from the sun. Einstein predicted this without ever experiencing it or seeing it. So guess what? Gravity acts like a lens, if you will, that bends light, just like a, you know, a glass lens. It also bends time, as we just stated. How can gravity bend light and time? We don't know, but it does. So is gravity, you know, since it can slow down time, is it like a magnifying glass? Literally, I mean, can we, not to get in a biblical sermon here, but there is a fascinating statement along this line in the Bible. The Bible says that 1,000 years is like a day to God, and a day is like 1,000 years. Time is of no consequence to him. A single, you know, day could seem like 1,000 years. Or 1,000 years can seem like a day. He's not bound by time like we are. Just like, you know, we can take a magnifying glass and magnify a small little fly and make the fly look like it's huge. Is this what happens with time, with gravity? Does gravity magnify time that same way? So that what seems like a split second to our friend can be actually, 10 years, depending on whether we're in a powerful gravitational field. Remember the experiment I told you? You know, if we could get in a spaceship and go at the speed of light, it would only be a second to us. But to a friend here on Earth not moving, it would be 20, 30, 40, 50 years. You know, does acceleration and or gravity magnify time so that we're only looking at a small segment of that 20 years, whereas that person is seeing, is experiencing the whole thing in a split second's time. Do you see what I'm saying? Einstein actually backs up that statement in the Bible. That statement in the Bible seems to be way ahead of its time. That's relativity, 2,000 years ago. All right, guys, another short break. We'll be right back.
ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering. Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
All right, guys. Welcome back to Two Thirds Radio. Continuing on into some yet weirder stuff. Did you know, guys, that we only hear sounds because of air? If the Earth didn't have an atmosphere, not only would we suffocate, but we wouldn't be able to hear anything. Sound needs air molecules to vibrate in order to be heard. We would know nothing about sound, again, except for air vibrating. Well, guess what? It appears the same is true with light. We wouldn't be able to see light, except that there was something for the light to bounce off of. Just like air needs... just like sound needs air, you know, to vibrate so we can hear it, light needs matter to bounce off of so we can see it. Did you know that you never actually see light? And this is something I figured out myself recently. I never even read this anywhere. But it's true. We don't see light. It dawned on me one day. When you turn on a lamp, all you see is light reflected off of something bouncing back to your eye. Even if you look right at the light bulb, you're not seeing the light itself. You're seeing the light being diffused by the gas in the bulb, but you're not seeing the light directly. The light must first bounce off of something for it to be seen. And, you know, a good way to prove that is take a flashlight in the dark and flash the flashlight. And look right at, aim the light away from you. But look right at the front of the flashlight. Do you see light coming out of the flashlight? No, you don't. The only time you will see, quote, light coming out of the flashlight is if it's raining or if it's really foggy. Then you'll see the beams of light coming out of it. But guess what? All you're seeing is the light hitting the fog and then bouncing off of the fog particles and hitting your eye. But you don't see the light itself coming out of the flashlight. We don't see light unless it is first bounced off of a medium. Now, what does that mean? Well, heck if I know, but it's telling us something about the nature of light. Just like sound, when you realize it must vibrate off of air, that tells us something about the nature of sound. It has to vibrate. So, does light have to vibrate off of matter before we can see it? Does matter cause light to vibrate a certain way, a different way, so that we can see it? Something's going on there when it strikes matter, because that's the only time we can see it. How about this? A single electron. Scientists are now able to isolate single electrons in the laboratory and fire them at a target. What they have found, though, is when they isolate these single electrons and shoot them at a target, when they measure the time it takes the electron to reach the target, it's slightly slower than what it should be. This was a puzzle to scientists. They wondered, what's going on? Something's causing this electron to move slower. It does hit the target, as expected, but not in this, in the time frame that it should. So they decided to put sensor devices on the inside of the chamber to monitor what happens to these electrons, to see if they're following, an alternative path and not going straight to the target. And guess what they found? That's exactly what was happening. After firing the electron, it bounced all over the place inside the chamber, frantically, all over the place inside the chamber, and then finally came to rest at the target it was aimed at in the first place. Experiments that have been conducted over and over again have shown this to be true. The question is why and how? Do these electrons have intelligence? You'd almost seem to think so, because they do wind up at the target. It's like the electron knows that it's being shot at that target and fully intends eventually to hit that target, but not before it bounces around the whole chamber first. This is really strange, but you know what? It gets even stranger. Scientists noticed that electrons, just like photons and other subatomic particles, that they have elements both of particles and of waves. Sometimes they seem to act like particles, other times like waves. Electrons are no exception, and since they can isolate a single electron, they decided to shoot an electron through this double slit, this plate with a double slit in it, because when you shine a ray of light through a double slit plate, what happens is you get an interference pattern on the opposite wall. When the light shines through the two slits, because light is a wave, the light waves will, periodically cancel each other out. Just like if you drop two stones in a pond, the rippling of the two stones next to each other will create this crisscross pattern. That's an interference pattern. The waves are interfering with each other. On one end, they cancel each other out. On the next end, they magnify each other. You see what I'm saying? So this is what happens when you shine a flashlight through a double-slitted plate on the opposite wall. You'll see that you get this interference pattern. You'll actually get a band of light, then a band of darkness, a band of light, a band of darkness, and on and on and on. So when they flashed a beam of electrons through a slitted plate, they got just what they expected. Of course, you can't see the pattern like you can with light, but they have detectors there that show that you get this interference pattern, right? But wait till you hear what happens when they did it with a single electron. Stick with us, guys. Talk about that when we get back. What it's done to me. Lose the love I knew.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
This is an urgent RBN financial bulletin. Have you ever thought about making a little extra money at home with your computer? If you have and you would like to make money by actually learning how to beat Bilderberger insiders at their own game, this will be the most interesting message you will ever hear. Here is why. We all know that knowledge is power, but what most people don't know about is how to gain the kind of knowledge that insiders would really rather that you didn't have. Once you get that knowledge, it then becomes a question of turning that information into financial gain. Well, there's now a very real chance you will actually be able to make money this way. Here's what it's all about. There's a new program available that teaches you how to scan the media for enormously profitable insider stories. Once you learn what's ahead for a given company, you'll have an enormous advantage over the rest of the market. Get the details at www.earlymorningadvantage.com. That's earlymorningadvantage.com or call 815-259-4552. Once again, the site is www.earlymorningadvantage.com. In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle.
For some time now, you've listened to our corny DidYouRobBillGates.com ads. So let's get serious for a moment. DidYouRobBillGates.com can really show you how to make money with your own home-based business and will give you the ability to quit your job, pay off debt, or how about buying some silver and gold for the future or retirement? What about just being around more for your family? DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how to increase your cash flow so you can get the things in life you want. What if all it took was answering the phone? Could you do that? When the cash flow increases, it's amazing what you can do. It's about independence and freedom. DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how. Don't wait any longer. Go to DidYouRobBillGates.com. That's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Okay, guys, we're back on Truth Hurts Radio. As I was saying before the break, you know, they shot a beam of electrons, and it acted just like the beam of light, which is pretty much what they expected. They did, you know, it's not visible. You can't see the interference pattern. But it produced, you know, with the detectors, they were able to determine that it produced the same effect. So the electrons were acting like waves, just like the light beam. And so they thought, gee, I wonder what will happen if we just shoot a single electron. So they did. They singled out, you know, a single electron. They shot it at that plate with the two slits. And to their amazement, it produced the interference pattern on the far wall. Now they were left with a dilemma. How to explain this? How can one single electron produce a wave pattern? Was it going through one slot, coming back out, and then going through the other slot so fast that it was able to interfere with his own self? Or did it split in half prior to entering the slots, and one half went in one slot, one half went in the other, and then it produced the interference pattern? These were serious theories they were contemplating because it just didn't make sense. They could not account for this. What in the world is going on? Well, guess what happened next? It got even more freaky. They decided to put detectors on the other side of the slit plate to try to determine what's going on, to follow the trail of this single electron, you know, to measure the path to see how it could be producing this interference pattern, just a single electron. How is this possible? So they put the detectors there, and guess what happened? Now the single electron only went through one slot, and it acted like a particle instead of a wave. They're like, wait a minute, this isn't possible. So they took the detectors out, shot it again. Guess what? It acted like a wave and went through both slits. They put the sensors back again, and now it acted like a particle and only produced one spot on the far wall, indicating that it only went through, again, one of the slots. Every attempt to, you know, reproduce this experiment or to prove it wrong, you know, has failed. The same results have turned up with every experiment like this that has been conducted around the world. In other words, the electron, for whatever reason, acts differently when it's being watched than when it's not being watched. The electron doesn't want the scientists to know, apparently, how it produces the interference pattern, because it refuses to do it when it's being watched. So this brings us back to the question, do these particles have consciousness? You might not want to go there. I'm not so sure I do either. But you really got to start to wonder. This has got scientists wondering, what other explanation can you come up with? Very, very strange stuff. Oh, but there's even more strange stuff. Let me continue on here. A 1981 American Journal of Physics article carried these astonishing statements. How do physically separated subatomic particles communicate with one another? Somehow one subatomic particle knows what a distant compatriot is doing and reacts accordingly. Physical experiments have confirmed this seemingly impossible situation. No fields, wires, or any other sort of communication line connect the two particles, yet they behave as though there were. They've noticed different particles, totally disassociated from each other, will actually respond to what the other particle is doing, regardless the distance between them, and even though there's no medium of contact, you know, wires or signals of any kind. This phenomenon has been given a name. It's called Bell's Theorem. Google that, guys. Look into this for yourself and see. I'm not making it up. Again, there could be some alternative explanation yet to be discovered that can account for this, but it's beyond, you know, the most learned, advanced physicist's ability to comprehend and explain at this point. Here's another very strange anomaly, which may or may not emanate from the subatomic level. Who knows? In any case, this blows my mind. Check this one out. If helium is cooled down to absolute zero, which is what, like 300 degrees below zero, it becomes, as you might expect, a liquid. Pretty much any gas will become a liquid at that temperature. But check this out. If you spin the bowl that this liquid is contained in, it will remain absolutely still. No centrifugal effects, no friction will cause the, from the bowl will cause the liquid to spin. Nothing. The bowl will spin, but the liquid will remain absolutely still. You know, you could put, let's say you could put a tiny little speck of dust on the surface of. Of course, the dust, you know, would freeze instantly and whatever, probably chemically bond with it. Who knows? But you know, if you could float a tiny little speck of dust on there, or let's say a needle, a tiny needle, you float it on there, the needle wouldn't budge, it wouldn't move. This, of course, would happen with any other liquid you'd pour in there. It would move because the liquid itself, due to friction or centrifugal force or whatever, would spin. But liquid helium, cooled to, you know, 300 degrees below zero, will not budge, even though the bowl it's in is spinning. But guess what? It gets even stranger than that. Hold on to your hats, guys. This is really screwy. If you take some of this liquid and pour it into a cup, obviously a special kind of cup, you know, that can withstand these low temperatures. But if you take some of that liquid and pour it into a cup, and then hold the cup just a few centimeters above the rest of the liquid in the bowl, the liquid in the cup will empty out drop by drop into the bowl. You will see one droplet climb up the inside of the cup, up and over the rim, and then down the outside of the cup and plop into the bowl. And then the next drop will follow after it, one drop after another, until the entire contents of that cup are emptied into the bowl. Now, what facilitates that? And why does it happen one drop at a time? And why does one drop wait for the first drop to fall into the bowl before the next drop starts? What in the world is going on here? I hope you can see that the subatomic world is absolutely screwy. You know, what's his name? Green. I forget his first name now. He's from Columbia University. You know, he wrote The Elegant Universe. Brian, that's his name, Brian Green. I actually tried to get him on the show. He told me he was really busy and wouldn't be available until probably February sometime. Of course, you know, I won't be on the air at that time, but maybe some future time, guys. I'm hoping to get back into broadcasting, and I'll get him on. He'd be an interesting guy to talk about stuff like this. You know, it's from his book that I got a lot of this information from. Just crazy, crazy, crazy stuff. He asked the question, maybe when the tree falls in the forest and no one is there to hear it, maybe it doesn't make a noise. I mean, there's so many bizarre findings like this that they're coming across. They're pretty much open to any explanation now. I mean, they're considering some obviously ridiculous scenarios to explain this, but you know what? Nothing's so ridiculous more than what they're actually witnessing happening. These things are so ridiculous that they demand ridiculous explanations. I mean, how do you account for this? What can cause this? Nobody knows. It's just bizarre, bizarre stuff. The subatomic world, once again, guys, is far stranger. I mean, a whole different, obviously, whole different set of laws operate there. This is why finding a theory of everything now has become exponentially more difficult. This stuff was only discovered in just the past 15, 20 years or so, since the early 90s, a lot of this stuff. And so now it makes finding this theory of everything even more difficult, because you not only got to account for or try to account for something that can explain the four forces of nature, but now you've got to find something that accounts for these bizarre occurrences on the subatomic level. There's just no explanation for this stuff. I mean, there doesn't even appear to be laws governing these things. It just appears to be absolute chaos. In fact, they've come up with what's called chaos theory. They're trying to make sense out of something that appears to be total nonsense. You know, who knows? It's probably not likely that we're. In fact, that's been the conclusion of some scientists. There's probably some things we're just not going to be able to understand. It's certainly not in our lifetime. It is totally, totally beyond the ability of the most ingenious minds to explain a lot of this stuff. Well, you know, once again, I got to throw this in there. If you have any belief in God, well, I think you have your answer right there. In fact, I think he likes to play games or tricks. You know, he likes messing with these scientists' heads. Aha, you think you're so smart? You think you know it all? You know, make sense of this. Try to figure this one out, you know. They're not so ingenious as they'd like to think, or like us to think that they are. But anyway, you know, how is it that the universe, guys, on our everyday scale, can have so much order, i.e., you know, stars orbiting their galactic centers and planets orbiting their stars, and planets orbiting stars and moons orbiting planets, and on. There seems to be so much order in the universe, and yet you look on the subatomic level, which is what's supposed to be dictating all these other laws that operate on the larger scale, right? And yet there's absolute chaos, total chaos. They cannot predict what subatomic particles are going to do. They can give you, you know, different alternative explanations. It might do this, it could do that, but there's no way to positively predict like you can on our scale of the universe. You know, you roll a ball, you know what it's going to happen. You put a planet near a star, you know what's going to happen. It's going to orbit the star. I mean, you know, we can predict these things. We can use mathematical formulas and be very precise, very accurate. These laws are universal. They're obeyed universally. But when you get down again to the subatomic level, there are no rules, at least none that we can make sense of. It seems to be absolute and complete chaos. So in the attempt to try to explain the laws that we know are out there that do govern the universe for the most part, and we can write formulas that can predict how things would act, when you try to get down to the heart of the matter, to the atomic level where it's believed all of these laws emanate from, we find that there's no order. There's no chaos. There aren't mathematical formulas that you can devise to explain things going on at the subatomic level. So how in the world can you get such orderly laws that can be predicted with mathematical formulas from the atom, which is not governed by any known laws or mathematical formulas? It's absolute chaos. How do you get that? Again, if this, you know, like one scientist said, if subatomics or quantum physics doesn't blow your mind, it's because you're not understanding it. you know, I hope the way I presented it, I have gotten you to appreciate, you know, the mystery of all of this, and maybe hopefully get you to read up on it some more. A good book is, you know, the Elegant Universe by Brian Greene. Of course, there's a lot of others out there, and you know, I don't even necessarily agree with all of his theories. They're interesting, but he's just offering another opinion. Who knows? There's probably no theory out there today that can account for this, or that does account for this, or that even remotely accounts for this. You know, we're probably not even within a 1,000 miles of the parking lot of the ballpark of explaining these things. But just knowing that these things are taking place is just mind-boggling. It's fascinating. Anyway, in closing, let me leave you with this question. What really is reality? Do we really know what reality is? You know, what we perceive as reality, as I have been stating, really isn't. I mean, we look at, you know, we handle a heavy object, and we think that that's a, you know, we call it a solid object. We call it a dense object. But dense really is just a relative term. You know, I mean, look at Bush. you know, he's denser than the most dense person you've ever run into. But no, seriously, dense is a relative term. You pick up a heavy lead weight, and sure, compared to a piece of styrofoam, that lead weight is very dense. But when you start looking at the atomic level, there isn't much more to that lead than there is the styrofoam. You know, if you were a neutrino, you would just as easily pass through that lead weight as you would the piece of styrofoam, because both are essentially made up of absolutely nothing. It's just that the lead has a few more protons and neutrons in the nucleuses of its atoms, the nuclei of its atoms. But that's it. But there's still as much empty matter between the nucleus and its orbiting cloud of electrons. So again, that lead is made up essentially of the same emptiness as the styrofoam. So what is reality? What is matter? And does it matter? Pardon the pun. How about color? You know, we look at something and we say it's red. But is it really red? What is red? Red is simply a wavelength of light, and we only perceive it that way because when white light strikes it, that wavelength bounces back, whereas the other wavelengths are absorbed. The red bounces back. But does that mean that that thing itself is red? No. Because if you shined a green light at that red object, it wouldn't look red anymore, would it now? It would look, you know, gray. It only looks red because we're shining white light at it. So our perception of reality, again, is only based on the fact that the sun emits white light, and so the things we look at appear to have that color because the way that it absorbs and reflects white light. But what if the sun emitted green light? You see what I'm saying? Our perception of reality is totally dependent upon what mechanisms we have, you know, that are, or for example, if we had a thinner atmosphere, our voices would sound totally different. If we had a helium atmosphere, we'd sound like chipmunks. We'd probably all sound the same. You couldn't tell, you know, really our voices apart. We'd all have that high pitch. You ever suck helium? I used to do that at parties all the time. I don't recommend it. Oh, man, that'll make you lightheaded after a while. And let me warn you this. Don't ever be as stupid as I was and suck helium out of one of those, you know, pressurized tanks. Holy mackerel. One day, a friend of mine rented one for a party, and I thought I was going to be cool and show off, you know, sucking helium. Like an idiot, I didn't even think, you know, duh, this stuff is under tremendous pressure, right? I'm thinking it's like a balloon. I'm just going to, open my lungs and suck in. Well, I sucked in all right, and let me tell you, I almost popped the lung. Seriously, people have died from doing that, guys. Do not do that. You don't want to experience what I did. It was nasty. All right, guys, short break. Be right back.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Attention, this is an extremely urgent Republic Broadcasting News bulletin. If you're interested in suppressed natural cures, this will be the most important message you will ever hear. Listen closely. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test an amazing blacklisted herbal product considered to be the single most powerful traditional remedy on Earth. In fact, medical studies in other countries have been conducted on the astonishing effects this rare mineral-like compound has had on arthritis, obesity, energy, memory, and even reproductive health. Yet, because of the rules governing nutritional supplements in this country, no health or healing claims can be made at this time. However, it is still legal to own this compound, and right now a very small amount is being made available to RBN listeners in what's being called the most amazing and unusual offer ever made on radio. To claim your supply as an RBN listener, simply go to www.blacklistedherb.com. That's blacklistedherb.com. Shipments will be filled on a first-come, first-served basis, so it's important that you move quickly. www.blacklistedherb.com or call 877-327-0367.
All right, guys. Like to Thirst Radio. So I hope you enjoyed this discussion. It's pretty weird stuff. I don't always have the answers, but sometimes it's more important just to raise the questions. In fact, that's pretty much the case with anything in life, isn't it? There's not always clear-cut answers, but at least if you know to ask the right questions, And again, that applies in every subject, politics particularly. People aren't asking the right questions today. They don't even know what questions to ask. They're so dumbed down and doped up, literally. They don't see what's being done to them. They don't see the mess, the web that's being spun. But, you know, watching the national address last night is a good example of that. It's so disgusting. How many people watch that and think that, in spite of everything that's been going on, that, you know, it's still business as usual, everything's fine. See? Look, there's the president. He's not talking about any of these problems, so they must not exist. It's just in my local community. We're having some bad economic times, but if things were really bad like this all over the country, you know, the president would be addressing it. I mean, it's incredible, the illusion that they're creating here. I can't understand how people can fall for this. All right, you know, are you writing off it's just your community? Well, what about Cousin Fred, you know, across the country? You know, what about your buddy Jim down there in Florida who's struggling too? I mean, it's not a local community thing. This country is in a massive, whopping downward turn. The dollar, guys, is at the lowest it's ever been in all of United States history. We have the highest national debt, the worst deficit spending problem. Everything is coming apart at the seams. And there's that scoundrel last night acting like it's no big deal. Everything's fine. He even talked about, you know, economic boom. He's talking about, you know, Halliburton and Bechtel and Boeing and all of his other little corporate buddies there that have been supporting him. Oh, they're booming, sure, because all the money he's stealing from you is going into their pockets. But that's it. It's just a few individuals, a few corporations that are making whopping profits in whose hands all the wealth is being hoarded, but everybody, everything else in this country is going down the toilet. And there he is proposing his tax incentive, that little return he's going to come up with this summer, guys. Man, is that so disgusting. I just, shame on anybody who thinks that he's offering some great relief plan here. It's so sickening, guys. Again, all it's going to do is generate more debt, because you know where that money's coming from. Oh, and then he proposed, yeah, to give, like, what was it, $300 million to help the poor kids in inner cities. Well, guess what? We've got 15 million starving kids, 15 million poor kids in inner cities around the country. You know what that amounts to? That's $20 per kid. That's what Bush is proposing. That's it. $300 billion. Again, it's just window dressing. It's just like that $300 or $600 that he's going to send you out this summer. I mean, it's a joke. Not only does it create more debt, but even if it didn't, how could that possibly benefit you when you're paying thousands more a year for oil? Literally thousands more to heat your home or to put gas in your car. Oh, I don't know, man. All that does, again, is just put a little Band-Aid on a massive gaping wound. You know, we're bleeding to death over here, and he's offering you a flipping Band-Aid. And it's even worse than that. It's not even a Band-Aid. All right, guys, that's all the time we get for today. Have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Another very interesting topic tomorrow. You don't want to miss it. We'll see you then.
Gold has been.